To pick up, the dinner that we just had is also listed in the chronology or the order of the Passover Seder, and it's called the Shulchan Orech. That's what we just had, was the Passover Supper. So now we come... I'm sorry, what's that?
What book is that?
Typically.
What book is that in the Bible?
Let me finish, and then we'll take the questions afterwards when your recorder's not running. Okay. So going on, after the supper, it brings us to a particular portion of the Gospels where Messiah refers to some events of the Seder, and that's what we're about to do now. So after dinner, the next element is called the Zafun, which is the eating of the Afikomen. The Afikomen is the last thing eaten at a Passover Seder. So what I need is for the youngest child at each household to go find the Afikomen, that is that portion of the middle piece of matzah that Papa broke, wrapped in a linen cloth, and hid away. So if the youngest child would go find it and bring it to Papa, but don't give it to Papa. Didn't have to search very hard, huh? Okay. But I'm sure there are kids out there that are searching far and wide, high and low. So we'll give them a few minutes to get there.
They have to have some fun, too.
Yeah.
Make it memorable, enjoyable.
Yeah. So children, when you bring the Afikomen to Papa, you don't give it to him until he gives you something of value for it, because Papa must redeem the Afikomen. So my youngest here has found the Afikomen and brought it to me. I gave her a dollar bill. Doesn't have to be a dollar bill, just something of value, because it must be redeemed. Papas, when you get it, I want you to break it into olive-sized pieces. And I want you to give an olive-sized piece to each person at the table. But don't eat it yet. Earlier, you learned the origins of the phrase singing for your supper when we sang Dayenu before you got to eat. But here we have other lessons to learn. And assuming that every person has received an olive-sized piece yet, please pick up your handout and turn to the third page, which says at the top, Birka Hamatzon, which is blessing after the meal. And let us do a responsive blessing. I'll do the leader, you do the all. Let us say the blessing for our food. Blessed be the name of the Lord from now unto eternity. Let us bless our God of whose gifts we have eaten. Blessed be he, our God, of whose bounties we have eaten and through whose goodness we live. Blessed be he, and blessed be his name. So look at your piece of Afikomen, which is unleavened bread. And I read, it is significant that it was the middle piece of matzah, which was broken, hidden away during the three cups of wine. The middle matzah, along with the other two, were wrapped or placed together to form a unity. Is it not significant that God commanded us, saying in Deuteronomy 6:4, Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The Hebrew word one in Hebrew is Echad, meaning a unity. Actually, it literally means one. God is a unique unity. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It was that only begotten Son of God who is our Messiah, Yeshua. Isaiah 9:6 says, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and a government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And I'm reminded that it's written in Proverbs, who has gone up to heaven and come down? Who has gathered up the wind in the hollow of his hands? Who has wrapped up the waters in his cloak? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name and the name of his son? Tell me if you know. So yes, in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 4, the Tanakh, what we call the Old Testament, says that God has a son. The Son of God, our Messiah, took upon himself the name Yeshua, which means salvation, because he would be the Savior of his people. He was the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, as John 1:29 calls him. So we note that the breaking of the middle matzah and the wrapping of that broken piece of the middle matzah and hiding it away represents death and burial. The breaking of the matzah, like Moses striking the rock in the wilderness, was symbolic of the crucifixion of our Messiah, where his body was broken for you and for me. Wrapping it in the linen cloth, which is symbolic of burial cloth, reminds us that they had to hurry to get the body down off the crucifixion tree to get him hidden in the grave so that they could go have the Passover Seder as it had been ordained and practiced for 1,500 years. Picturing death, we notice that death is a separation. Physical death is a separation of the material part of man from the immaterial, the flesh from the soul and the spirit. Spiritual death is eternal separation from God. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death, that it was through Adam that death came upon all mankind. As long as the matzah remained hidden, it symbolized that death reigned. Go ahead and mute it. But when the broken matzah was found and returned, it symbolized right life and resurrection. Honey, go to the one where it says 52. See the icon there? Click on it. And then click on where it says mute all. Okay, excuse me. So even though the origin of the word aphakomen is lost in antiquity, Jewish tradition says, well, it must mean dessert. Actually, what it means is, I have come. As the psalmist wrote in Psalm 40, verses 6 through 8, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have pierced. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, O my God. Your Torah is within my heart. The one who came, written about in the scroll, is our Messiah, the Lord Yeshua. It is written of him in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It is further written in John 1:14, the Word became flesh and lived for a while amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory as of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. It was this piece of bread, that aphakomen, the unleavened bread that was broken, was wrapped symbolically in burial cloth and hidden away, then brought forth after the meal, that Messiah was speaking about in Luke chapter 22, verse 19, where it's written, Yeshua said to them, and he took bread, gave thanks. That was the same blessing that we said a few minutes ago, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. That's been the blessing from time immemorial. And he broke it, he gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So Messiah said, when you do the Passover Seder each year, and you see that piece of unleavened bread broken and wrapped and hidden away, and then brought back later and redeemed. Think of that as my body and what happened to you through me. So that's what he meant by do this in remembrance of me. In John chapter 6, Yeshua said to them, I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, from now on give us this bread. Then Yeshua declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If a man eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. So isn't it significant that it's this middle matzah which was broken and hidden away, only to be later brought back, broken, and distributed, that Yeshua points to and says, this is my body, which is given for you. And remember that aphikomen means, I have come. Remember also that the matzah is unleavened. It is striped and it is pierced. Even so, the Messiah was unleavened. That is, he was sinless. He was that spotless Lamb of God. Even so, the Messiah was striped. That is, by the Roman whip, that cat of nine tails. Even so, the Messiah was pierced. That is, by the nails in his wrists and his ankles, and by the spear in his side. If you're a believer in the Messiah, when you eat this piece of unleavened bread that reminds us of our Messiah, remember what happened in the upper room at the Last Supper. And as you eat, let it remind you of what the Messiah did for you, that he came and gave himself for your sins. So everybody, please eat the aphikomen. Because we know it was the unleavened bread after the dinner that Messiah said, this is my body, then we know for sure that the cup that he next referred to is this third cup of the Passover Seder, called HaGeulah, or the cup of redemption. So everybody lift up the third cup. This cup represents the third I will, where God said, I will redeem you. This is God's promise that he would redeem his people from slavery, meaning he would buy them back, or another way to put that is he would redeem them from slavery. It is this cup, the third cup, the cup of redemption, after supper in the upper room, which Yeshua raised and said in Luke 22:20, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. This cup that represents the new covenant is the cup of redemption. It was called that for 1,500 years before Messiah came. It is the cup after the supper which our Messiah used to symbolize his death. Because we know it is the cup of redemption, that is the cup after supper, we know that it was the aphikomen that he used to symbolize his death and resurrection. The scripture tells us in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, that without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sins. The scripture furthers tell us in Leviticus 17:11 that the life of the flesh is in the blood. When one is wounded, the blood forms a covering over the wound and permits the healing of the body. It keeps out infection and it keeps out disease. If the covering is removed or damaged, the wound may become infected. An infection without cure can ultimately kill the body. The scripture tells us that when God placed the man and the woman in the garden, they rebelled and sinned. Like an ugly wound, sin cut the fellowship between God and man. God in his holiness and righteousness could no longer have fellowship with the sinful, rebellious man. Man in his rebellion and in his sin and pride would not seek to have fellowship with God. A covering for that wound had to be made. So God in his mercy and love chose Israel. Unto Israel he committed the sacrifices, the offerings, the Torah, the commandments, statutes, and judgments of God. God told Israel that he would allow them through the blood of the bulls and the goats, that is the sacrifices, to make an atonement, meaning a covering over of sin. It would cover over the ugly wound and permit healing and fellowship. But Israel would not leave the covering alone. Instead of obeying God and following his instructions, that is his commandments of the Torah, they sought to cover their sin in their own way. And the infection of sin spread through the nation and would ultimately have destroyed them had God not intervened. But once again, in his grace and mercy and fulfillment of his word, he sent his son, the Messiah, Yeshua, to die in our place. The prophet Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 53, verses 5 and 6, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. In Messiah's death, God did not just cover sin, he took sin away. Anyone who accepts Messiah's death and accepts him as their Lord and Savior has passed from death into life. God has forgiven their sins, and he has cleansed them from all unrighteousness. Our Messiah came. He died, shedding his blood, even as the Passover lamb of old, to provide for all who will place their faith and trust in him a redemption from sin. Raise your third cup again, and we have the ancient blessing, Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, Barei pri hagafen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. Amen. Please recline to the left and drink from the third cup. For those of you who are being observant, you notice there is a cup of wine here that has not been used. This is the traditional place for the prophet Elijah. This door is open to see if the prophet Elijah will come. Would you, as the youngest, go to the front door and see if Elijah has come this year? While she does that, let me remind you all, there's a movie out there called The Cup of Elijah, which was made by a messianic fellowship in Ohio. And it's just adorable, where a family who's not particularly observant is having their Passover Seder. And when a child goes to the door, Elijah's really there. And it's a fun movie.
Not this year.
Maybe next year. But the door was open to see if the prophet Elijah had come. John the Baptist, who Yeshua himself spoke of as the forerunner, was indeed the prophet Elijah, according to Messiah's own words in Matthew chapter 17, had Messiah been accepted by his people. It was that same John who looked upon Yeshua and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." You'll also note there's some items on the Seder plate which we have not eaten. One is the Beit Zah, or roasted egg. And the other, the shank bone of the lamb. The roasted egg speaks of sacrifice, which could no longer be made because the temple was destroyed. Is it not strange that an egg is used to represent sacrifice? One must remember that sacrifice not only means death, it also means life. But there's a further meaning to the egg, and that is never again. As you see, this egg is white, it's uncolored. When the children of Israel were in the Babylonian captivity, they were by the river Chebar, as the book of Ezekiel reminds us. And that was the center of Ishtar worship. Ishtar, whose name eventually comes into English as Easter. sacrifice children at the spring of the year. And the children of Israel made to roll eggs in the blood of the sacrificed children to remind them that they were to worship Ishtar and not God. And we will never, ever be made to do that again. The shank bone of the lamb is untouched because lambs are no longer sacrificed because there's no longer a temple. There will very shortly be a temple again, and the sacrifice of the lambs will begin again. But at the moment, we cannot. All right, if you'd lift up your fourth cup and set it down so that you can grab your hand out and turn to the last page, page 4. Call the Hallel. I will read the leader portions if you will do the all. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. May the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor any who go down into silence, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord.
I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Amen. We come to the fourth and last drinking of the cup. This cup represents the fourth I will, where the Lord said, I will take you to me for a people. This speaks of the time when the Lord will gather Israel again in the Lord. To the believer in the Messiah, this cup also represents the great hope that someday the Messiah is coming back to take up his followers to be with him. As it's written in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Messiah will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, berei pri hagafen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. Amen. And drink from the cup. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, for the wine and for the fruit of the vine, and for the produce of the field, and for that desirable good and spacious land which you granted our ancestors to inherit, to eat of its fruit and be satisfied with its goodness. Have compassion, O Lord our God, upon us, on Israel your people, upon Jerusalem your city, on Zion the residence of your glory, and upon the altar in your temple. Rebuild Jerusalem, your holy city, speedily in our days. Cheer us on this day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread for you, O Lord our God, our good and beneficent to all. And therefore do we give thanks to you for the land and for the fruit of the vine. Blessed are you, O Lord, for the land and for the fruit of the vine. The Seder of Passover is now complete, even as our salvation and redemption are complete. Just as we were privileged to celebrate it this year, so may we be privileged to do so in the future. O pure one who dwells on high, restore your numberless congregation. Speedily lead the shoots of the garden you have planted. Redeem joyfully to Zion. And we all end with the echo me please. Lashana.
Lashana.
Haba'ah.
Haba'ah.
Birushalayim.
Birushalayim.
As the Seder ends, let me give a postscript. Let me have you hold up 4 fingers on one hand, 3 fingers on the other. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, God tells us that he put the sun and moon in the sky so that we could tell when the feasts and festivals of Leviticus chapter 23, that is the appointed times of the Lord, are to be held. Those 7 appointed times are divided into 2 parts. That's why 4 on one hand, 3 on the other. The spring feasts and festivals teach about the first coming of Messiah. Messiah died at exactly the specified time on Passover, was buried at unleavened bread, and arose at the Feast of First Fruits. 1500 years the children of Israel practiced the death, the burial, and the resurrection through the Passover celebration. And then 50 days later, after Passover, is the Feast of Weeks, or in Hebrew, Shavuot. That's what the church today calls Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit came and indwelt the believers. Between the first 4 and the last 3 festivals, there is one verse in Leviticus chapter 23 which describes a harvest period. That harvest period some call today the church age. It is the believers being brought into the kingdom from both the Jewish world and the non-Jewish world through the faith in Messiah in his death, burial, and resurrection. And that leaves 3 festivals in the fall. The first one teaches the rapture and the resurrection. The second, the literal second coming of Messiah for Armageddon. And the third, the establishment of the Messianic kingdom here on earth. So as God fulfilled the first 4 in Messiah's first coming, so the book of Joel says that you can believe the Lord will fulfill the last 3. We are getting so close to the rapture and the resurrection that if there's anyone out there who's not saved, please bow your heart and your knees before the Lord right now as we close in prayer. Avinu Malkeinu Eloheinu, our Father, our King, and our God, how we bless you and praise you, Father. For you are the only true and living God. Only you can tell us the end from the beginning. And Lord, you told us in the book of Amos that you do absolutely nothing without showing it first through your servants, the prophets. And Lord, you prove through the first 4 festivals of Leviticus 23 that when you say you're coming, then you're coming. Exactly when you said, exactly how and where you say you're coming. So Lord, we can have confidence that Messiah will soon return. That the 2,000 years between the first and the second coming are almost over. And Father, I pray that if there's anyone out there tonight who's not saved, that they would fall on their knees before you tonight, confessing and repenting of their sins, turning away from their sins, and embracing you, the only true and living God, that they would accept Messiah's death, burial, and resurrection in their place. And if they will do that, Lord, you will make them new. You will give them a new heart. You write your words upon it that we might not sin against you. Father, please bless each and every one who participated in your Passover Seder here or anywhere, Father, for they do it out of love for you. And Lord, please may more and more people year after year come to realize that the Passover Seder was prophetic. As Ecclesiastes said, there's nothing new under the sun. What's happened before will happen again. And that all the prophecy you gave us will be fulfilled. For Messiah himself said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Father, thank you for all that you do for us, as we bless you for it all in the precious name of our Messiah, Yeshua. And all God's children said, amen. Well, I'm going to turn off the recording. The Seder is over. May God bless each and every one of you. If you have any questions after I turn it off, let them rip.